Welcome to the Begin the Begin podcast. My name is Jeff Hillemeyer, and I'm on a mission to find out what makes people tick. But not just anyone, people who are making a profound impact on the world. I want to dig into their origin story and get to the root of why and how they do what they do. I hope you are as inspired coming out of these conversations as I am. Let's get into it. On this episode, I had a chance to talk to one of my favorite people in the world, Sanjay Parekh. Sanjay and I have known each other for a long, long time, and I consider him both one of the smartest as well as kindest, and I shouldn't forget, one of the most successful entrepreneurs I know. And on this episode, we spent our time talking about his newest company, Occasional Wraps, which produces the first ever artist-designed, limited edition gift wrapping paper. I know you'll enjoy this chat, and if you do, please consider subscribing on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here's my chat with Sanjay. All right, I am really excited to bring back one of my good friends, Sanjay. Sanjay, tell everybody who you are and what you do, if you can do that, because you do a lot of stuff.
I do a lot of stuff. I'm Sanjay Parekh. I am a Atlanta-based tech entrepreneur, now being less tech with the latest thing that I'm doing, but I do a lot of stuff. Really focused on kind of giving back and helping out other entrepreneurs, but really just kind of enjoy business and doing things like that.
Yeah. And you do a lot of good in the community, which I think is a combination of what we're going to talk about later, your new venture. Did we meet through ShotPut Ventures?
I think we actually met before ShotPut Ventures. But
maybe
I think it was
Startup Riot, maybe.
Yeah. It was roughly around that same time, though. Okay. But yeah.
So we did ShotPut Ventures, for those who probably nobody knows. It was quite some time ago.
Not now. It's old news at this point.
Yeah. What was that, 2008?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you, me, and maybe like eight other people, six or eight other people.
I think there were eight of us total.
Okay. We started a seed venture fund type thing, an accelerator type program.
Accelerator incubator kind of thing, which was the thing of du jour, you know, the thing everybody was doing back then.
Yeah.
And then we actually had two funds. I don't know. Were you on the second fund? There were a lot less of us on the second fund.
I think so. I think I did both. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we only did one investment out of the second fund until we realized like, oh, we're all too busy.
Yeah.
And we threw our money at, what was the thing out of Georgia Tech? I'm blanking it on it.
Oh, yeah.
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. That's right. Anyways, old time memories there. One thing I was curious about, because you have your hands in lots of different things. And again, we're going to talk today. Mostly I wanted to have you on to talk about the new thing you're working on. But I'm really curious, as somebody who does lots of different things, has their hands in different areas, what do you do to keep track of like how you're spending your time or make sure that you're not overloading yourself? Like, how does that work? Or is that your wife's job to say, dude, settle up?
Yeah. It's a good question. And I don't know if I have a great answer. So I've been trying to use different tools over time, making sure that I spend time on everything every day, at least a little bit of time, to making sure that, you know, the trains are running on schedule and staying on the tracks and not derailing. But it's hard. And I think, a lot of times, especially when I'm adding in a new project, like what I've done right now, that ends up taking the majority of the focus for a little while, until I can get it to that right point. With the new thing, it's funny. I'm telling everybody that it's me and my wife doing this together, because my goal here is to actually get it to a certain point where I can just give it to her and I don't need to be involved anymore. Because I honestly have way too many things, and there's a couple of things that are on my plate that are just not getting the attention that they deserve. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. And I think, it's gotten a little bit easier now. You know, you've got kids too. My kids are starting to get older. You know, I've got one in college and one's a junior, and they demand a lot less time. They demand time, but it's in a different way than when they were younger. And so I think that has helped free up some time as well. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is, you know, the last 2 years, we basically haven't traveled because of the pandemic. So that's given me a lot of time to work on stuff because we're not going anywhere. But I'm hopeful that that's going to change starting this summer.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. Okay, before we talk about the new thing, give me a quick rundown of the things you're involved in right now.
Yeah. So, we've got a podcast that we've been doing weekly, and I say we, that's Adam Walker and myself. We've been doing that for a little over 4 years now. It's called Tech Talk Y'all, the number one podcast in the tech news comedy genre. Probably also the only podcast in the tech news comedy genre, which is why we're number one.
By the way, it's great. You guys have such great chemistry. You talk about interesting things. So everybody should check out Tech Talk Y'all.
Yeah. It's funny. People do. I have to warn people. I'm like, you know, don't listen to it while you're driving. You might fall asleep, but, I think everybody does enjoy it. And yep. So, yeah, maybe with your podcast, we'll get listener number seven, for the podcast. So we've been doing that for 4 years, and that, you know, that really stemmed out of, this incubator that I helped launch years and years ago. The mayor of a local suburb here in Atlanta asked me to come in and launch this incubator. And as a part of that, I decided, I was like, yeah, you know, podcaster seem to be hot. So let's build out a podcast recording room. And I didn't know anything about podcasting. And so iteratively, I bought all this hardware and we built out this podcast recording room. And then I was told that I should do a podcast and I had no idea what to do. And Adam happened to be there one day. I was touring him around. He said, I want to check out your new place, and kind of mentioned this to him. And he just volunteered himself to do it with me. And so that kind of launched that. And then last year, we actually started talking like, you know, we've been doing this podcast thing for a while and we really enjoy it. Why don't we start doing this for other people? And so we ended up launching Edgewise, edgewise.media, which is a podcast first marketing agency. That's been really kind of exciting and fun. We're working with a lot of different clients and, you know, taking a lot of the learnings that we've had from doing Tech Talk Y'all. Tech Talk Y'all for us, it's not a moneymaker or anything. It's just really something that's been fun. And it's led to some really interesting things. Like we were on TV once a month for a while. On a TV show here locally, have become good friends with the people that were the host and production folks there, and still talk to them to this day, even though we're not there anymore. And so that's been kind of a nice side effect of all this stuff. But working with the clients, we're really being thoughtful about how do we amplify the podcast? Because a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll just throw out a podcast and then just not do anything else, right? And then be like, well, why aren't people listening? It's like, well, you're not doing all the other things that need to go with it. So that's been really, it's been kind of a rocket ride to build that up. So there's that. I've got two now security startups that I'm working on. One that's been a few years kind of in the making. There's been some trials and tribulations and some internal struggles and challenges and me having to clean that stuff up. And so, you know, now we're starting to get to the point where we can start working on that again. That one already has two issued patents. A third one is pending. And then the new security one is actually an idea that Adam came up with from Tech Talk Y'all, a story that we were talking about on there.
Wow.
And so we're working on patents right now for that technology, but really it's about helping kind of solve some issues that we're seeing in the marketplace. And you know, what's funny is like neither one of us is a security person. Like we've never run a security company. I've got the pretend one that I'm working on as well, but we're not from the security space, neither one of us. And yet we're going to try to go solve something like this.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's the new thing that we're going to talk about.
That's why I asked the first question I asked about how you manage your time, because I think, you know, people could maybe wrap their head around, okay, you're running a podcast and you work at Edgewise. And so you're standing up this, you know, media company. And then, okay, maybe even one security startup, but two security startups. And I know you're very involved in the community. You're on lots of great boards. I think it's incredible how you're able to do so many things. So yeah. So talk to me about, what led to this new idea and what the idea is.
Yeah. And so, you know, to step back for a second, you mentioned boards and stuff. You know, I really view a lot of this stuff as kind of amplification of each other, right? Like the things that I do all kind of interrelate at some point and some level, and all of them help me with each other. And to me, it's, you know, it's those that service on boards and things like that and helping other people that really helps kind of drive the day. Because, you know, you know this too as an entrepreneur. When we were doing our first companies, like there really wasn't much help out there, right? There was a lot of stuff that you had to figure out on your own. And it was a struggle. And you and I probably could have done what we did and accomplished it sooner and quicker and faster if we'd had the help and advice of people that had been through it like us. And so I think that's super important for people like you and me to be giving back to the entrepreneurs that are coming up behind us or the investors that are also now starting to invest in startups and things like that. So I talk a lot to folks like that. I'll do meetings all the time, just, you know, give my viewpoint, not to say that I know everything or that I'm right about everything, but just to give my viewpoint and help out folks like that. Because in the end, like, yeah, there might not be a financial return for you and me, but in terms of society, if we can help people do better faster, then it helps all of us out in the end. So to me, all of this is kind of on a continuum. So the new thing is kind of like a blending of a lot of this stuff. I've never built or deployed a physical product. I've always just basically sat behind a computer and typed all day long. And what's funny is I'm now doing a physical product, but it's still typing all day long. Like, I'm not actually even touching a physical product right now. So the idea came around, you know, we actually have moved out of our house because we're doing a renovation. And I, as we were moving some stuff, I had some gift wrap paper in my hand. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of particular about my gift wrap paper. I don't like paper that's super thin because it rips when you're trying to wrap a gift, and that's super annoying. I don't like paper that has glitter on it because that gets everywhere and you're seeing that glitter for weeks on end afterwards. It's in your hair and in clothes everywhere. And then I also like paper that has grids on the back because I don't know about you, but I can't cut a straight line to save my life. And having paper that has grids on the back is really nice. Well, all of these things kind of combined to me, and I started thinking, I was like, you know what? I have never seen culturally specific holiday paper. Like, I've never seen holiday paper for the Indian holiday of Diwali, for example. So I thought, does that even exist? Does anybody make that? So I went online, searched around a little bit, and sure enough, nobody makes that. There's no way to find it. There's no way to buy it. And so I thought, you know, why don't I combine some of these passions of mine? And one of them is art. So that incubator that I was talking about, one of the things that I did early on there was we had 12,500 square feet of white walls, which is, if you've ever been in any kind of space with just a bunch of white walls, it's super depressing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, hey, let me go out and get local street artists from Atlanta to come and do artwork for me on the walls, do pieces for me. We'll commission all of those to create like a vibe and energy in the space. And we did exactly that. Like, we had this one comic book artist that was looking for space come into our space. And I'm not going to mention his name, but it's somebody whose work you know. And the first thing he said was, "This is the coolest space I've seen all of Atlanta." And it wasn't because of anything else. It was just because of the artwork that was there.
And it was beautiful, by the way.
Yeah,
I was there many times. So cool.
Yeah. And like that robot wall that we had there, we even had a wedding and they did wedding pictures in front of that robot wall because they were, cool. You know, those kinds of folks. Like, it's a neat space. And not for anything. It's just because of the art that's on the walls.
Yeah.
So thinking about that and thinking about, you know, the design of gift wrap paper, I thought, let's get an artist to design a gift wrap paper. Let's make it limited edition, because the other thing that I hate is you buy gift wrap paper and then everybody has the same paper, right? You go drop off a gift somewhere and it's like a dozen of gifts that are from different people all have the same paper on it. That's annoying. And then we're going to do it for cultural holidays that are ignored by the mainstream retail channels. Right? So things that you're never going to be able to get when you go to your big box retailer. So that's the idea. And then to twist it upon that, like, let's do some good with it on top of that. Right? So instead of just hiring the artists to do the gift wrap paper, let's really make them a part of the process by giving them a percentage of the profits on the back end. Right? So the more we sell there, it's an alignment of incentives essentially at that point, right? Like, we're getting them bought into the process because the more rolls that we sell, the more money they make at the end. So they have an incentive to kind of promote this throughout the term of the project. And then the other one is to set aside a percentage of profits to give back to one or more charities that serve the country of origin of the holiday that we're celebrating, right? Like, I think this kind of project really only works in a country like the US, right? Like, we talk about all the time, and I don't know that we talk about it that much anymore. It was talked about when I was a kid, that we're a melting pot, right? We have people that come from all over. There's only one group of people that actually were here from the beginning, and that's Native Americans, right? They're indigenous here, but everybody else is from some other place. And everybody else, if you do or don't celebrate your heritage, you've got holidays that are different than the holidays that we celebrate collectively as Americans. And so why don't we celebrate those holidays here? And so that was kind of the idea. We're starting, we're working right now. We actually, yesterday, I got the final design from our artist. She's based in Bangalore, and she just got me the final design. So now we're starting up the process, but we're not going to just stick with Indian holidays. We're actually going to expand out to other holidays as well. And there's been some folks actually in the last week that have been pushing me for another paper idea that we're probably going to end up doing this year. It's crazy to try to do two this year. But you know what? Once you figure out the whole process with one, it's just kind of repeat and recycle and just kind of do the whole thing over again. So hopefully it becomes a flywheel that of good and kind of impact as well.
Is there a name?
There is a name. And the name, my son actually came up, and it's a great name. I think it's called Occasional Wraps. So Occasional, WRAPS.com is, nice. Is the website.
Nice.
Right. Because it's different occasions. Yeah. It's, you do it occasionally. Occasional
That's
wraps.
Great. I love it. Okay. And what percentage of the company does he get for that?
he gets his tuition paid for at Georgia Tech.
Okay, there you go.
Housing and tuition paid for.
Sounds like a good deal. Okay, gosh. So, you know, I think we as entrepreneurs have a sickness in that when we when we see a problem and we don't see a solution, we're like, oh, well, I could do that. I could create that. So what made you, like, this to your point, this is very, very different than anything you've done before. What made you say, yeah, I'll start a holiday gift wrapping company?
Yeah. I think part of it is I went into this just like when I quit my job the first time to start my first startup. My thinking then, this was back in, so I came up with the idea for my first startup in 99, March of 99, March 17th of 99, if we want to know the exact date. And then the end of 99 is when I made the decision. And the first day, working day of 2000 is when I quit. And when I made that decision, my thought process was like, look, I'm a Georgia Tech engineer. If this goes wrong, somebody's going to hire me. It's fine. But in the process, I'm going to end up learning a lot. I'm going to have a lot of fun, and I'm going to be able to do a lot of things that normally I would never be able to do. I've had so many experiences and gotten to do so many things, as I know you have, just by the side effect of being an entrepreneur. Yeah. And so the same thing is true here. I thought, look, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to learn a lot about a D2C brand because that's what I'm going to build, a direct-to-consumer brand. We're not going big box retail. We are starting to talk to some retail, small chain retail. But I'm going to learn about manufacturing, which I know basically nothing about. I'm going to learn about fulfillment, which I basically know nothing about. I'm going to learn about, even things like paper weights. Mm-hmm. Like, I know now different paper weights and the paper weight that I want for our gift wrap paper so it doesn't rip. Like, I didn't even know how they measured paperweights,
right?
And the differences of all that stuff. And so, that is kind of my thinking, is that, the stage that I'm at now in kind of my life and career, this is not, if this fails, it's not catastrophic for me. The kind of buy-in price to do all of this is thousands of dollars. We're not even talking about like needing to drop $100,000-$500,000 to get this all going. We're talking thousands of dollars, right? So it's really accessible for me, at least. And I figure if it fails, that's okay, right? I'm going to learn stuff along the way. And then maybe I become a better investor. Now I can go start going and investing in a DTC companies and really understand the issues and challenges and maybe even now have the connections that be able to help some of those companies, because right now I don't.
Right. That's why the right-minded entrepreneur never fails, right? So you just basically laid out, you said, look, it might not work, but here's all the reasons I'm fine with that. Like, I'm going to give it my best shot, but I'll come out of it with this new experience and having tried it and new connections and, an ability to look at, direct to consumer opportunities from a startup perspective. So I love that mentality. And I wasn't super surprised when you first told me about this. It felt somewhat similar to when I started the book publishing company. Like, hard to find an older industry than that. And, I'd not ever done it before. And I'm learning. And my thing was, well, the very least I'll get better at publishing my own books,
Right.
That's the downside is I'm better at doing what I'm already doing. So why not, give it a run? Okay. So I have to imagine the logistics of having these things having the the rap created? Like, that's being done in another country, I'm imagining. How's all that?
Yeah, it's not actually, I don't think. So we haven't finalized this, but you know, my initial thought was, hey, we should do the gift wrap paper in in the country of origin of the holiday as well. So let's create jobs in those countries. Like, let's not just donate to charity, but let's create jobs. But honestly, like, thinking about it holistically, it doesn't make sense to do this, because, you know, the other part of this is, and we haven't gone full in, but at some point we will, is thinking about the environment and sustainability, right? Like, creating this gift wrap in India means that we're going to have to get it on a boat, which means a huge carbon footprint, but it also means a month delay between when it gets onto the boat to when we get it here. Then you got to deal with customs. Then you got to deal with like port issues. Like, there's so many like layering and stacking of issues at that point that it's like, does this even make sense?
And don't tell me you're doing it in your basement.
I'm definitely not doing it in my basement. I would not have a basement soon after that, because I'd be kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
No. So we're looking at US-based manufacturing for this. So creating jobs right here. And you know, look, I think that's a great story as well then, right? Creating local manufacturing jobs here in the US. The thing that it lets us do, I think, is it lets us control better the environmental and sustainability kind of, you know, dials on that. It reduces the carbon footprint. It reduces our logistics management and the time frame that we have to deal with and some of that stuff. And so now I'm starting to look at, like, do we not do this as one run, and do we do maybe multiple runs of the wrapping paper to make sure? Because, you know, one of the other worst things that I want to not have happen is get through kind of this season of selling this wrapping paper and then end up with like 1,000 rolls or 10,000 rolls that nobody's buying, and then I just have to trash it. Like, that is a environmental impact that makes it like I would almost not want to do this business then.
Yeah.
If I knew that was going to be the case, like, that's not good. Like, I'm okay losing the money. I don't want to negatively impact the environment because I'm just trying something out. Like, right. That's not okay.
Is that where the limited series comes in that helps you control that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's part of that. And it's also part of the idea of, like, I don't want this to be a perpetual thing that everybody has access to forever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, you know, 10 years from now, people wrapping Diwali gifts that are still with the same wrapping paper as today. Right. Like, that should get renewed. It should get updated. And it should be interesting kind of on an ongoing basis, right? Like, design is we're seeing that, I think, more and more now, right? I think probably 10, 15 years ago, it started creeping into our lives and we started thinking about how things should be better designed. Mm-hmm. And we were dealing with like a lot of utilitarian design stuff, like boxes that were just, you know, computers that were just boxes that didn't look pretty. And now I think you can say most computers look pretty. I mean, you know, laptops look really nice. They're sleek and well-designed. Even desktop computer cases have a lot of the design thought put into them. And so, you know, yeah, there's some kind of neat historical things like that kind of retro feel for using something that's from 10 years, but like not everybody wants that. You know, people should use like the newest design stuff.
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 10 on how good you are personally at wrapping. Let's say a one, a one is like a toddler, and let's say 10 is like Elf.
I'm probably like a six or a seven. And I think I'm downgrading myself now lately because I've done a deep dive into some of these people that are gift wrap influencers.
Yeah. Okay.
And oh my God, Jeff, some of these people, they are able to wrap you can wrap an entire gift with one piece of tape or no tape. And then they do folds where they have pockets where the card can go in. So you don't have to like the card goes in the pocket. Yeah. It's origami gift wrap and it is insane. And so I've seen some of these people and I'm like, I wrap it like a box. That's it. Like, I don't do anything fancy.
Oh, man.
And it's really, now that I'm talking about it, maybe I'm a four or a three even. I don't know.
Those sound like the nines and tens though. I don't know if you can downgrade yourself too much. I fancy myself as being decent at wrapping. I take pride in when I do wrap a present, I try to do it well, but I've never put a pocket in it. And I always use tape.
Same here. And not just one piece of tape. There's multiple pieces of tape, but yeah, it's amazing. And it's impressive. And you know, you, it's not something I would have gone out and found and thought about like, I need to improve my gift wrapping skills. Okay. But I tell you what, next time I wrap a gift, I'm probably going to watch one of these tutorials. Yeah.
Well, here's the idea that you've already thought of, but I'll say it anyway. You need to send those people your wraps and see if they'll use it in their videos.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've been talking to some of them for exactly that reason. Yeah. And so, you know, this is a little bit of a struggle in terms of doing this business, that when I started, I had this mindset of, I wanted to make sure that we didn't have an environmental impact. We didn't have wastage at the back end. So what I'd started out with was, hey, I'm going to just do pre-orders only. So you pre-order now, Diwali is in October. So you're going to get your gift wrap in September. Some people are willing to just jump on that and buy. So we've gotten orders for sure. But I think there's a vast majority of folks, and the part that I've been struggling with is making it known that this exists. Like, getting the word out has been very difficult. Mm. And there's not clear channels. And I've looked around for some things and applied for things to, you know, get mentioned in newsletters. But really what it kind of comes down to is exactly what you're saying, is sending people gift wrap and having them use it and show it off in videos and photos and things like that. And so that means we've got to manufacture, and I can't manufacture just a couple of rolls. I got to manufacture a full run.
Right. What's a full run?
Yeah. I've been pushing on this number. It sounds like a full run is at a minimum 5,000 rolls. I was trying to get 1,000 rolls and yeah, it doesn't sound like it. And so there's like this ripple effect that ends up happening because of that. So, okay, I got to get 5,000 rolls made. Well, now I got to get them shipped to a fulfillment facility because they're not coming to my house.
Right.
You know, that's like 10 or 15 pallets worth of gift wrap. So that means it shows up at a fulfillment facility. Well, the minute it hits there, now I'm starting to pay monthly for the storage of the stuff until it's out of the door. So, you know, there's like this ongoing cost that happens once you kind of start this cycle. But, you know, again, this is probably something I'm just going to have to bite the bullet on and do. You know, I was trying to optimize, but this is definitely not a business that seems like it's optimizable.
And those 5,000 all have to be the same design.
They're going to all be the same design. Yeah. And they're going to be double-sided printed, right? Cause we're going to have the grid on the back. And then gotta have the grid. I'm not going to be happy otherwise. And so, you know, all of that stuff raises the cost of this stuff. Like, even like we're talking about maybe going into retail, even getting a barcode. I didn't even know about this. You probably know about this now with the book stuff, but if you want an international unique barcode, like, it costs money. I think I found a place that it'll do it for like $25, but that's still $25 that you got to spend to get a unique barcode that goes into retail. Yeah, just like the weirdest things.
Yeah. I just recently learned that every time, like if a lot of times you put a book out and then, you know, somebody finds an error or something, you want to fix that. Well, when you do that, it needs a new barcode. You have to pay for a new barcode, get that
for
put
new
on there.
ISBN number. Like,
yeah. Every really? Time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
So I also imagine, though, you know, your business should grow sort of the way that Calendly grew, right? Calendly grew by someone getting the link from someone else to book on their schedule. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Let me click on this. And oh, Calendly, I could use that too. I imagine once you get through that first holiday, people will say, oh, this is fantastic. And you're literally, you know, it's an Indian holiday. It's going to be Indian people who are experiencing that, right? And then they're the new customers, right? Yeah. So I imagine that's going to be a tricky thing for you, is you got to get through that first holiday or two so that people know about it. Cause that's literally your market, right?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is looking at the demographics of the people that have already ordered, there's definitely Indian people in there. There's a lot of not Indian people in there, though, which is super interesting to me. And I think some of this relates to like, hey, we just want to support something that's different and unique, and I embrace other cultures. But then also it's like this gift wrap that we're doing, it has people on it. And it's, you know, basically Indian people, but it's all varieties of Indian people as well. So there's that diversity and representation that's happening in the gift wrap paper that you probably don't traditionally see in gift wrap paper when you go to the store. And so, you know, if you're just even thinking about that as a lesson of representation to, you know, you having kids or whatever, or just wanting this, you know, it is in theory, Diwali paper, but you could kind of use it for almost any kind of gift like that. And you know, you don't have to give it to an Indian person, right? So I think there's some kind of interesting things like that that could happen, but I think you're absolutely right. I think once people see it, they'll be like, hey, where did you get this paper? And then sign up. Now we're starting to, you know, like I said, think about other cultural holidays as well. So I think there's going to be this interesting kind of mix that ends up happening where people that are particular about gift wrap might now become, you know, clients of ours only and buy just different gift wrap over the year, just to fill all of their needs, right? Because eventually, maybe we will do just generic like birthday gift wrap or, you know, things like that. We'll probably still do it in a limited edition fashion, right? Like we'll only make 10,000 or 50,000 rolls or whatever it is. Maybe it's more for birthday because that's a little bit more generic. And then people will just buy from us for that stuff.
Are you putting the URL inside the wrap on the inside?
On the inside, we hadn't thought about doing that. That's actually a good idea. I thought about doing it on the label on the outside of the thing, but having it on the inside, the recipient could probably then open it up. The problem now with that, now I'm thinking it through, is that the grids are cheap to print on the inside. We have to pay for the printing, but everybody has the grid manufacturing was. So we'd have to get a new cylinder made for the inside grid if we had our URL on there, which the cylinder costs like $3,000, between $1,500 and $3,000. So
it's something to consider though, because I'm opening it up.
Maybe worth it
right there.
Yeah. You know, it may be worth doing it. And because it's a one-time cost, right? And we would use the same cylinder for every gift wrap we end up doing.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I think last question for me is, like, what does minimum viable success look like for you? Like, what 2 years from now, we're still talking about this. What needed to happen at a minimum?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a number of rolls that we sell. You know, we probably need to sell out, if we're going to do a 5,000 roll run, probably the majority of that, you know, 3,000-4,000, something like that. You know, my belief is that if we end up with extra that we don't sell, then we'll probably just hold on to them and, you know, not just throw them in the trash. We'll try to sell them at some point if we have to, you know, figure out some way to get rid of them. That said, like, you know, we're talking to some small retailers, and I think there's an opportunity there where we can support non-big box retailers. And that's, you know, kind of, again, close to my heart. I'm talking to a founder later on today about being stocked in their store. And there's a really nice kind of story there that happens, right? Like we're small, they're small, we're supporting them. We're going to push people to come and buy from them. And so, you know, I think if we go down that route, I think there is a way for us to get rid of all these roles. So I would say it'd be, you know, selling the majority of these roles. The second product that we're talking about, I already feel like we're actually going to have more success with that one. It's going to be easier to hit that one than this first one. But that's okay. Like, I don't want to delay this one. This is the one to learn all the stuff with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do kind of like the fact that we're probably not going to do like 50,000 rolls right out of the gate, because I think at that level, there's going to be so many problems that it's probably going to be unmanageable for me to solve all the problems.
Right.
Whereas if it's 5,000 rolls and there's some problems, like, you know, hey, my roll got damaged, hey, I didn't show up, like whatever, I think I can deal with those without having to outsource like customer support or anything else like that. Like, you know, it's going to be busy for me and my wife, but between the two of us, we can probably handle all of the complaints and issues.
Yeah.
As we scale up though, it's not going to be manageable. And that's part of the idea with this business too, is that I really don't want to have a huge company, like employment group. Like a lot of it is going to be just outsourced stuff, right? Like manufacturing, like I'm not manufacturing anything. Fulfillment, I'm not slapping labels on boxes, right? Like we're going to outsource all of that stuff so that we can focus on the things that are important, which is dealing with the artists and then dealing with sales and marketing and kind of getting the word out there.
Got it. Yeah. It's really exciting. And I just, again, I love that you've decided to embark on such a different thing. but you've thought
it's
out.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's very, very cool. So I'll definitely put the link in the show notes. I hope people go and check it out.
And if this isn't your cup of tea, sign up for the email list. We're going to let people know when we release next products for other cultures and other holidays. So, and if there's a culture or holiday that you want supported, we've got a link on the website to just send us a note and we'll put it onto the list.
Cool. All right, man. Well, this is exciting. I'll say again, people should listen to Tech Talk, y'all. I'll try to link to as many of your things in the show notes as I possibly can. It's going to be a lot, but I appreciate you sharing this with me. This is exciting stuff.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Wow. You made it to the end of the podcast. I didn't think people did that anymore. Well, since I still have you, I'd love for you to do two things. First, subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. That way you'll be alerted as soon as I post my next one. And second, I'd love for you to subscribe to my email newsletter. I send out an email every week or two, and it's really where I share my more personal thoughts and ideas. Plus, I give stuff away sometimes. You can find the sign up at my blog, jeffhillemeyer.com, and I really do appreciate you listening.